All right, so we're in building three. Who are you?
I'm Mike Nash. I'm the corporate VP for the Windows Client Product Management Organization. So I look after all the issues around product planning and strategy, things like pricing and licensing for Windows Client Operating Systems.
Excellent. Now, I know you were a big player in SP2.
Yeah, actually, about the 4 years or so before this, I worked and ran the Windows Security and Technology Unit. Mm. And the focus there was really on improving the customer experience around security, also building security products for the company. And one of the projects I worked on, I guess, from the summer of 2003 till about the summer of 2004 was delivering Service Pack 2 for Windows XP for the company.
Excellent. And so now we're at the age of Vista, which is our next general purpose operating system. And I'm just curious, like, in your mind, how's Vista doing? I mean, like,
Vista's doing pretty well, I have to say. We're very excited about the product. We look at it in terms of, consumer adoption, and things are looking very good there. Mm-hmm. Certainly spent a lot of time working on understanding and addressing any issues customers are facing. In fact, we see that with every new release, we've got to work on compatibility and making sure that the applications and hardware that people are using all work. Mm. In the case of Windows Vista, it's a bit of a different challenge because, of course, today, and when we shipped it late 2006, made it available in 2007, the average customer has more devices connected to their PC, and therefore there's more work for us to do. But there's been great progress there. We had about 1.5 million or so devices supported for Windows Vista when we released the product, and now that number is north of 2.2 million. So great progress there, really focusing on making sure we minimize the chance of a customer having a problem with their device. So that's gotten way better. Mm-hmm. Application compatibility has been an area we focused on as well, and today we're pretty excited to have 50 of the top 50 selling applications now have a version that's Windows Vista compatible. So in some cases, you'll have to go get the updated version. But for a lot of those things where it's more free downloads, those downloads, whether it's for Flash or for the Adobe Reader or for iTunes, whatever it is, those versions are now available in a way that's compatible with Windows Vista.
Excellent.
Really great support from the ecosystem.
So now, with compared to XP2, or XP2, which I guess is what it was.
XP Service Pack 2.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's interesting that we actually made some pretty substantial architectural changes to the system.
Yeah.
Introduced new user experience constructs like UAC, mm-hmm. Which has a meaning that most people may not get, that you're not running as admin anymore.
Right.
So that broke a lot of apps.
Yeah.
And so, what did we do to make it easier for people to write compatible apps for Vista? I mean, how did we help them through that change?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You look at Windows XP Service Pack 2, which you mentioned, and it was really an important step for us. We did a lot of things based on customer feedback. We had to improve the overall security of the Windows XP operating system, so improving the firewall and other things like that to stop malicious software from getting onto the system. It required a lot of work engineering-wise on our side, and frankly, it did cause some compatibility issues. The move from Windows XP to Windows Vista was like that. There's a lot of feedback we've gotten that while XP Service Pack 2 was an important milestone, the customers wanted us to make investments in improving both the security and the reliability of Windows Vista. So we made those investments. One of the things that we both heard from customers but also realized was, first of all, running as an admin can be the source of a lot of security issues. If everyone's running as admin, they could actually do something to hurt the system. Mm-hmm. But also, malicious software running in the same user context that they're running in could have their way with the system. So getting people to run as a standard user was critical. The challenge was on the Windows XP operating system. That was kind of hard to do. So in Windows Vista, we did a lot of work to make the overall usability of the system as a standard user much more straightforward. But a lot of applications, especially applications that were written prior to Windows Vista, assumed they had admin rights in the box because everyone ran that way. They never even, a lot of customers or vendors never even tested their application running as a standard user.
Hmm.
So a lot of work had to be done to make sure those applications could work well as standard user. In some cases where they, queried the system to see if the user was running in the context of admin but never did anything with admin privilege, mm-hmm. we could create a response to their request to say, yep, we know this application's asking doesn't need to be an admin, so we'll just tell it that it is an admin. There was no security risk, and we made the application work. In other cases, there are situations where the application couldn't be made to work in the admin mode, mm-hmm. or in standard user mode, rather. And in those cases, the vendor is creating a new version that runs in standard user mode. And we're seeing great uptake of that.
Excellent. Now, we're about to release the first major service pack for Vista.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going on there? I mean, what is it?
A lot of people are asking, you know, is Service Pack 1 for Windows Vista like Windows XP Service Pack 2? And the answer is, while it may be a large service pack, and I'll talk about that in a second, it really is not. The philosophy is very different. Mm. The Service Pack 2, as you mentioned before, it kind of was an approach that we were creating a lot of new functionality and making quite a few architectural changes in things like the firewall to improve the overall security of the system. And therefore, we knew that it was going to require some evaluation and some work before it could be adopted. Mm-hmm. Windows Vista Service Pack 1 is really just focused on addressing issues we've heard about, you know, around the fundamentals of the system. So work we've got to do to improve reliability, work we're going to do to improve performance, work we'll do to improve compatibility. But architecturally, we're not doing the kinds of things we did in Service Pack 2. Mm. It's really important to note also, though, that if you look back in time to, you know, Windows 2000 or Windows NT 4, to some extent even Windows XP, the use of Windows Update has changed dramatically. We have that infrastructure. It's being used on a large number of consumer systems. In the enterprise space, we're seeing that a lot of enterprise customers are also using Windows Server Update services, which provides the same level of automation while still giving the admin control. Mm. So the need for a service pack is actually reduced because the really important updates we have to do, we can release through Windows Update, and users in the consumer space or customers in the enterprise space can get those updates without having to wait for the service pack. At the same time, device drivers, which used to pretty much be deployed in service packs, are now available. Whenever one's available, we get it. We can put it up on Windows Update and make it available to the customer. So the need to wait for a service pack is greatly reduced. So the old wisdom that said, you know, you need to wait for the first service pack to get those most important things, it's kind of not true anymore because you can get them off of Windows Update. We do, you know, at the same time, know that there's work we have to do even beyond what will be available before Windows Vista Service Pack 1. Mm-hmm. So the Service Pack will be an important milestone, just not the same kind of milestone it used to be.
Excellent. Now, we've done a lot of interviews on Channel 9. I mean, I did a Vista Week a while ago, and the main focus of it was on the new diagnostics and sort of serviceability and the self-understanding of the system. So you've been getting a lot of incredibly detailed feedback that you've used to help make SP1 super quality.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the time frame, even since Windows XP shipped in 2001 to today, there's probably two things that have, you know, changed a lot. The first is that, you know, I don't think in 2001 anyone knew what a blog was. Maybe some people did. I wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the kind of feedback that we get now through the blogosphere is very, very direct and very specific and very, very real time. The challenge is being able to tell what a small set of people are saying versus what a broad set of people are saying, what's actually happening out there. Mm-hmm. So the other interesting thing that's happened in the meantime is a phenomenal investment in telemetry, where we can, in a very anonymous way that protects the user's personal identifiable information, find out how Windows Vista is doing on, you know, the key dimensions of its performance, its reliability, et cetera, and use that data to help us understand how Windows Vista is doing in the market and really triangulate the feedback we get from our support call centers, the feedback we get from our OEM partners, the feedback we get from the blogosphere, and this telemetry to help us understand what's going on out there, really help us prioritize where we spend the time. Helps us build the right things in updates between RTM and Service Pack 1. It also helps us prioritize the work that's going to go into Service Pack 1. And that's given us a lot of, helped us really to shape and focus the work to really have the maximum positive impact on the customer experience.
Excellent. Now, with those systems that we mentioned, are there any updates to those in SP1?
Nothing significant there. I think the key thing here is that we've used Windows Update in the meantime to, you know, provide a feedback mechanism. It helps us understand, you know, what are the most important device drivers for us to address, what are some of the areas around the other operation of the system, and use us in the meantime. But really, the key capabilities in our telemetry is a pretty big investment as we walk into Windows Vista. You know, some work could be done earlier, but Windows Vista is a pretty key milestone there.
So now you mentioned devices, right? And I think of the major negative things that I see out in the real world regarding Vista is sort of the incompatibility with devices, like the experience people are having with, I installed Vista, and now my device doesn't work.
Yeah.
And again, it's the OEMs write the device drivers. We don't. We provide generic classes, but we don't, you know, they can't be too specific. So what is SP1 doing to kind of address that. Anything?
Yeah, I would say SP1 is probably more of a time frame than it is an actual milestone in compatibility. A lot of work has been done in the meantime because of the great work being done by the IHV partners. Now, when you buy a new PC, the devices that are in that chassis, if it's running Windows Vista, support Windows Vista.
Yeah.
What we found, actually, is that those device drivers have actually gotten better in some cases, more reliable, sometimes more performant.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the opportunity to deliver those automatically if it's a larger deal through Windows Update. Or a lot of times you'll see them as a recommended update, which we typically encourage customers to go take, especially if they're seeing an issue there. So that's a very important change around that compatibility. You then look at devices that are not, you know, shipped in the box. So I, you know, buy a new PC and plug it into the printer that I've had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a situation where when you first got Windows Vista, maybe, you know, early part of February, a lot of times we heard from people, hey, my printer doesn't work. I bought a new PC, plug my old printer, it doesn't work, it's not working properly. And today, because of the improvements that our partners have made, and there's been a great focus there, increasingly those devices are working. And it's sort of funny, because you have a printer that maybe didn't work in February, you plug it in June or July, and suddenly it's working again. And we've seen, you know, just great progress there. A lot of times we're also seeing customers that buy a new printer that maybe was shipped before the Windows Vista driver was on the CD in the printer box.
Mm.
And there it's also important that the customer knows to go get the latest driver, either from Windows Update or from the vendor's website. Now, it's not perfect. There are certainly cases where we're finding some devices where the vendor isn't supporting the device anymore. A lot of times it's older, less expensive products from usually lesser-known companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the challenge you have there is if my, you know, 5-year-old webcam that I paid $20 for isn't working on Windows Vista, how important is that in my decision to go and support Windows Vista, to move to Windows Vista?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that vendor probably can't afford to do the engineering work for that legacy device, and yet at the same time, it's probably not worth, you know, is it from a customer perspective, holding back the move to Windows Vista. But, you know, there's always trade-offs there, and we're trying to understand where the pain is to make sure we're deploying, you know, ourselves and our partners to address those issues wherever we can make it better.
Excellent. Now, one of the cool things in Vista, at least in my opinion, was the innovation of Superfetch. And that was actually supposed to make it more performant in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
And so are there any updates in that to SP1? Because there were some...
Yeah, there's always work we're doing to understand, you know, where the system could be doing better. And I think as we understand actual customer usage and see that data, but also see how different third-party applications work, we're doing some tuning. So I would say evolution, not revolution there, but really a focus on understanding where we can be doing better for the customer. And... you know, a lot of those innovations that we're seeing actually are making Windows Vista a much better system than OSs that came before it. I think, you know, with the right level of hardware, people are having great experiences on Windows Vista. Interesting also is just how much that's changed, even in the, you know, what is it, 7 months or so since we shipped Windows Vista.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the same money today, just because of, you know, where PC prices are going, you can buy a more capable, you know, more powerful system for a lot of times for less money. I went out and bought helped my mom get my niece a laptop, you know, right after Vista launched in early February,
mm-hmm.
and then a few months ago, so about a month ago, so 6 months or so later, helped my nephew buy a new laptop. And you know, for a little bit less money, we were able to get my nephew a lot more PC than we were able to buy even 6 months ago.
Excellent. And that's just taking advantage of the evolution of hardware, right? I mean, the OS... I mean, why do you need such a powerful operating system? That's only if you want the flashy graphics, right?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that's happening is we are creating a lot more... We and the OEM partners are creating a lot more capability in the combination of the Windows operating system and the underlying hardware. And to get things like, you know, cooler graphics, better resolution, things like, you know, faster search of the local machine, those capabilities that make my experience much richer do require resources to make it happen. And I think what's changing now is that the level of power of the machine is very much there and able to support Windows Vista for a pretty good price. And, you know, compare that to even, you know, the stock machine you were buying back when XP shipped in late 2001,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a lot more capability in the combination of the hardware and software. The specs of the machine are a lot better. And the machine, you know, costs typically less than the machine cost, you know, even just 6 years ago.
Excellent. So, I mean, being on Channel 9 and stuff, and I do kind of read blogs, yeah. but I'm really not a heavy blog reader. But I do get the sense, you know, and I get the sense from Niners, from their posts, that there seems to be this perception that, that Vista, you know, sort of was a failure in the sense that... I don't know. I guess it's hard to say. I wouldn't say use the word failure, but it doesn't have sort of the glowing customer opinion that one would hope. What's going on there? I mean, what do you think? Why is that?
I think every time a new OS ships, and it's funny, it's been a while since we've had one. I guess so that people forget. But whenever a new OS ships, people sort of have nostalgia for the old one. And I think or nostalgia for the previous experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we first shipped Windows XP. There were things we had to do to help, you know, get customers to have a great experience there. The same thing is happening with Windows Vista. I will say that the degree of difficulty of the challenge for Microsoft and for our partners with Vista is probably a little bit harder than it was back with Windows XP because of a couple of things. One is there are more devices out there than there were in the past, and therefore the need to drive more compatibility, more application compatibility as well. Number two is we did a lot of work to improve the reliability and security of the system, based, by the way, very directly on customer feedback from enterprise customers, from consumer customers, from people that advised both categories of customers that Windows had to get more secure. The result of a lot of those architectural changes was the way that hardware and software interacted with the OS had to change. Mm. We had to, in some sense, be harder core what we allowed and didn't allow from a security and reliability perspective, which required more discipline in the part of applications running on top of the OS, both apps from Microsoft and from third parties. And as a result, work had to be done to make sure that new versions of applications could work well with those new restrictions that we were explicitly imposing. Mm. It's the right thing to do in the long term, and you know, certainly the vendors that wrote those applications and built that hardware weren't doing anything wrong in the past, but there is work that has to happen going forward. In the long term, there's no question this is going to have the right kind of positive impact on the customer experience. In the short term, it means that you've got to be, you know, thoughtful in the move to Windows Vista. We're finding in the consumer space, again, largely because there's versions of all the apps that are out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the applications that initially were a problem were things that are downloads anyhow. Things like things that were downloads.
Sure.
So those things are now available. There's versions of applications, that you know, more packaged applications, that you know, again, 50 of the top 50 have a Windows Vista compatible version. And the device driver, you know, the ecosystem there has just picked up its support, moving from, you know, roughly 1.5 million to over 2.2 million devices has a significant impact on the probability that when you plug something into your Windows Vista machine, it's going to work. And that, you know, that really goes to the experience. A lot of people, I think, also may have formed their opinion based on the early experience with Windows Vista. And look, we love people that are early adopters.
Sure.
But the key thing is to make sure we're supporting those early adopters in real time, so that if you bought a machine in February and you know your printer didn't work, that you know automatically we're going to get you that driver when it's available. And that's been a very important part of the strategy. I think another reason why the combination of the telemetry mm-hmm. and the ability to update using Windows Update is just so key.
Absolutely. Not. I mean, I've found I've been running it for longer than that, but I mean, the system's not slowing down over time,
which
is very impressive.
Yeah, it's a very big difference in terms of the overall maintenance. I had, you know, I've been running Vista. That's probably more than 2 years or so, as part of the team working on the product. The other day, I was doing something where I was back using a Windows XP machine I hadn't done in a while, yeah. And it's sort of funny. You sort of realize how much progress it was made between XP and Vista, mm-hmm. and you sometimes can't even appreciate it until you go back even for a shorter period of time to see what it's like, and you realize, wow, there's so many things that I became very dependent on, like desktop search, mm-hmm. that I would be able to work without.
Absolutely. So SP1, who's going to test it? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, the goal is to get about 12,000 or so people, to invite about 12,000 people to be part of the beta process.
Okay.
And I think we think that's a good number to help get the thing installed and get us feedback on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, over time, that number is going to grow as we have more, you know, experience with the product. With a small set of people, you can scale it out to be a much larger set of people. We want to make sure that, you know, we're driving improvements in reliability, improvements in performance, making sure we're achieving our goals around compatibility. Mm. But that feedback is so important to us. The good news is that customers that are using Windows XP across the board today, where they're, you know, understanding what they're using or having a good experience. We're doing a lot of work to help them to have an even better experience, mm-hmm. and where possible, delivering updates between now and Service Pack 1. But making sure that Service Pack 1 is a clear upgrade, if you will, from the RTM product is obviously, you know, job one for us, and making sure we achieve those goals is going to be critical for us.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And that brings up, you know, when you make decisions, and you're one of the people that make these decisions about when something will be released on Windows Update versus when it's part of this larger construct like an SP1,
sure.
How do you make those distinctions, right? So, I mean, the critical stuff will go on Windows Update, some of the drivers, but if that stuff has to be rigorously tested and everything else as well. But let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, what were your goals for, like, all right, let's create an SP1 as opposed to let's just figure out what these problems are, fix them, and ship them down on Windows Update. And then over time, everyone's going to have an quote-unquote SP1.
We learned a lot about that whole process in doing a lot of the learnings we had around security updates in, you know, 2002, 2003. It turns out doing an update, relatively straightforward process.
Mm-hmm.
Testing the update's a whole other story, making sure we deliver a high level of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you combine more and more updates together, the need to test them in aggregate becomes very significant. So the focus on things between RTM and Service Pack 1 was really on things that were going to matter the most in terms of having a positive customer impact,
mm-hmm.
but also things that, you know, we balance the impact that they may have in terms of interaction and compatibility and interaction with each other. So the things that we ship through Windows Update are the things that are going to have the most positive impact and, you know, deliver that level of quality. Things have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
A thing like a Service Pack, like Service Pack 1, allows us to treat all of those updates in aggregate and test the whole system. So that it's just not an incremental test. It's a test of basically a new version of Windows, which is Service Pack 1. And by, you know, focusing all those updates together in one holistic package, it allows us to run a much more comprehensive test pass on things and have just much greater confidence in the quality of not just the individual things we're updating, but how those individual things are going to work together, because they define that new version of Windows. In some sense, you can define Windows today as the Windows Vista that we shipped, plus every update you have installed, whether it's an update from Microsoft or a driver from a third party.
Mm-hmm.
And Service Pack 1 ships, the definition of Windows will be Windows plus Service Pack 1, plus whatever third party things you install, plus any updates that happen after Service Pack 1. We have to always treat, you know, that holistic set of things that you're using, mm-hmm. as the latest version of Windows.
So, I mean, for somebody out there, and there's a lot of people who aren't running Vista, what do you say to, you know, clearly the message that's out there in the blogs and the press and, you know, whoever else may be saying stuff, but wait for SP1. I mean, what's going on with that mentality? I mean, should you just get Vista right now and then SP1 will come, and or do you wait?
It depends a lot on the complexity of the environment you're running in. For,
uh-huh.
for a home user or a small business, you know, Windows Vista is very much without question ready to be used. Make sure the applications you're using have a version. Either the application you're using works with Windows Vista or has a version for, mm-hmm. Windows Vista. And there's great tools on Microsoft.com to help you verify that to be true. I also think it's important that if you're using Windows Vista and you're a small business or a consumer customer, that you are staying up to date using Windows Update, and if you're, you know, using a new device or plugging in a device you've had from before, that you go to Windows Update or to the third-party site to find the drivers that you need. The enterprise, I think it's an issue where the need to wait for Service Pack 1 is unlike the way it was in the past. You don't need to be waiting. But at the same time, by the nature of, you know, the scale that large enterprises are running, they need to make sure they're doing a proper evaluation. They've always needed to do that. They always have done that. And with Windows Vista, it's no different. The difference is they now have the opportunity to evaluate the current set of Windows Vista plus the current set of updates, and you use that set of technology to base their evaluation on. And if, you know, they find that it's addressing their issues around deployability, reliability, and compatibility, it makes sense to go.
Mm-hmm.
If there are things that they're looking at that they see in Windows Vista Service Pack 1 that are must-haves to their environment, they may want to wait. But we're seeing, you know, great evaluations going on right now with Service Pack 1, and customers that are, you know, having a good experience in deployment. But again, like any new OS, mm-hmm. There's a process there that starts with evaluation and piloting, and it's all happening as a matter of a normal course that we have for new OSs.
Outstanding. And so you've been working closely with OEMs as well, and IHVs?
I think across the board, both the OEMs that build systems, yeah. IHVs that build devices that run on top of the systems, but also software developers or IHVs. And frankly, now, you know, obviously as a part of that, making sure that website developers have applications that work well with this system. I think we've seen, you know, great engagement across the board to help make sure that these various components are working well with Windows Vista. Certainly OEMs that are working with us to understand, you know, how we can improve the experience the customers have. We're giving feedback to them, they're giving feedback to us, and the result is an ever-improving experience from a customer perspective, which if you go look at a PC you buy in September, mm-hmm. recently over the last few weeks, and compare that to the PC that you bought in June, it's getting better. And the good news is that the customer who bought that PC in June benefits from those improvements as well because they're available through Windows Update. So it was smart to buy it in June. It's still smart to buy it in September. And whether you bought it in June or September, you're going to have those latest updates.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I have one final question just because, you know, Channel 9 is, I guess, 70% of our audience are developers.
Sure.
And so, actually, I think we have about 10% in the IT pro space. But, you know, targeting SP1 just to those people. I mean, like, is there anything they should be excited about? I mean, an SP1 for developers?
I think probably the most significant thing is just that we're packaging all those updates together. I do think that, you know, making sure that if you're a software developer, either building in-house applications for a customer or building packaged software or building a website, mm-hmm. that you're making sure that your application works well on Windows Vista. If there's things that you need to change, we want to help you improve your application. If there's feedback you have to us in the operating system, this is the right time to be giving us the feedback so we can incorporate those things and make Service Pack 1, you know, an even better experience for you, but also for the customers or our shared customers that we're both, you know, that you're selling your application to and we're selling Windows Vista to. So this is the time, and beta feedback matters a lot. We certainly understand the challenge of testing, but the work that you're doing now will, I think, save both you as a developer and Microsoft as a vendor of the software a lot of time, and at the end of the day, deliver a better experience for our mutual customer.
Excellent. All right. Well, hey, great to talk to you, Mike.
Good talking to you. Thanks for the time.
No problem. I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
See ya.